This is a topic very near and dear to my heart, so very glad to see all of you here. And we're going to be spending time with the cards, but I do want to provide a context or a container for why we would be teaching a course like this here at the Jung Institute. Years ago, in my practice, this was back when we were all in Evanston. I'm moving my keys, just in case you wonder what I'm doing back here. Young man was seeing me for analysis who was a psychiatrist. And he was very scientific. And he was seeing a Jungian because he felt that was, maybe that would work. He had been through a number of other ways of working. But he was a little on the edge, you know. I helped him kind of get some credibility, get some credence to Jungian psychology. And in those days, we would publish these little catalogs of upcoming courses. And one day he came in and he threw the catalog down on the table and he said, "You Jungians, how are you ever going to have any respect in the psychological community if you run crap like this?" I said, "What?" He said, "They're offering a course in the tarot." I said, this is my sadistic shadowy side, "You're kidding. Who's teaching it?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I just read the title. Let me look." So he goes for the catalog, and of course, I was teaching it. He goes, "Oh, never mind." So I explained to him. He stayed with me for about 7 years. But I explained to him what the reason was for including something like this in the curriculum of a Jungian institute. And it really has to do with the ways that the unconscious discloses itself to us. And it is important that we recognize from a Jungian perspective, a lot of what you're going to see here would be referred to as defense mechanisms in any other school of thought. But we look at them as just ways that the unconscious reaches out and taps us on the shoulder and says, "Hey, you, pay attention to what's going on." The first, of course, is dreams, which in the Jungian community is considered the purest form of access to the unconscious, followed by daydreams, visions, hallucinations, apparitions. All of these, it's kind of interesting because hallucinations, bad, right? Apparitions, kooky. Visions, and daydreams, what good are they? But from a Jungian perspective, all of these are particularly valuable resources to let us know what's going on in the unconscious. Then we have good old projection, which everyone knows about because it's what guides us through our lives. How else would we know for whom to vote or with whom to fall in love or, you know, who to hate, right? It's just such a valuable tool that continues throughout our lives, and if the Tibetan Book of the Dead is to be believed, it will continue after we throw off this physical body. Displacement is a little bit different from projection. Displacement is when we take a feeling that I really ought to feel in one arena and express it somewhere else. So my boss does something crazy. I really can't yell at my boss. I'll lose my job. So I go home and my kid left the tricycle in the driveway and I treat it like he's a mass murderer. That would be an example of displacement. And again, while these may lead to problematic behaviors or problematic aspects of relationship, if we go underneath the problematic aspect and start to ask ourselves, what might this mean? These are ways the unconscious talks to us. Parapraxis, or if we weren't Jungians, we would call this Freudian slip, but we are not going to do that. We're going to call it parapraxis because that's a Greek word, but that's slips of the tongue or other behaviors where we mean to do one thing, but we do something else. And again, although people don't like to admit it, when that happens, it's probably good to ask yourself, well, what was that about? Why did I call you by my third grade teacher's first name? You know? Somatization, again, this is putting a symptom into the body. And the unconscious will do this if it really you know, wants to get your attention. We would hope that we would attend to some of the other disclosures prior to this. And of course, we're not saying that every physical illness can, you know, be handled by changing the way you think. But sometimes the body speaks very loudly because we're not listening to anything else. And then the last one is synchronicity. Synchronicity is sort of a primary Jungian category through which we understand the unconscious communicating with us. And synchronicity is the basis for why we are interested in things like the tarot or astrology or the I Ching. It is because all of these are ways of invoking or provoking synchronicity. So synchronicity we understand as, and that if you chapter, Jung's Collected Works, Volume 9, Volume 9, Part 1, Paragraphs 44 to 47, you'll get these if you're interested in following up. So synchronicity is one of three ways that we understand events to be connected. The first is just plain old causality. That's a very linear way of looking at the way events are connected. So something happens that causes a result. This is a very powerful way of organizing the world of experience, but it is an imposition, as all of these will be. It's an imposition on what's going on, okay? Because if I said to you, what's the cause of you being here today? Well, you might say, well, I caught the bus on time. Or I read about it in the website, and so I decided to go. You know, we would think that we could determine what caused it. But actually, we could also say that what caused it was one day, two adults did a thing that put you on the earth. And then that just set off the whole thing. Okay, so you see that physical causality is useful, and yet it is highly selective in terms of what it's going to pick up. And as I said, it's very linear, very powerful, but very linear. It is not necessarily the way things are, but it's useful. Another way that things can be understood as connected is simply connected in time. So things that are happening at the same time. No particular meaning, no particular causation. I'm standing here, a bus is going by on Dearborn Avenue, two things happening at the same time. We would probably have to work very hard to find meaning underlying that. So things can just happen at the same time. And the third one, identified by Jung, is synchronicity. This is a way of understanding connections between events that is not causal, but the connection is based on underlying meaning. Causality, if I explain my causal chain, you too can understand the causality, the causal link. And so we can share it. And we can say that it would be objectively in evidence. Synchronicity never is. Synchronicity is purely the experience of the person who is labeling the synchronicity. I can't convince you that something is a synchronicity for me. And you can't convince me that something is a synchronicity for you. It simply is that at that moment, these two events co-occur and we experience a connection between them at the level of meaning. Synchronicity is really a way of connecting the world of the mind with the so-called outer world, which of course are not really two different worlds. All of these, causality, temporality, synchronicity, they're all based on psyche's interactions with what we call the outer world or outer data sources. And never mind that we understand from a Jungian perspective that all of the categories that we call categories of our experience are actually expressions of the archetypal ground of the psyche. So there isn't anything out there that isn't also in here, including the idea of out and in. So this can get incredibly complicated, which is why I think it's also incredibly rich.